to the teardown, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the teardown.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
We about to win so big. Talking about hydraulic money.
Coming in, tell me what's the program. 25 bags of crush, yeah, get with the program. Shorty walk that wave, get the program. Shorty walk that wave, what's the program? Throwing through the air, what's the program?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Another week, another episode, Tales from the Terror Dome. You know, it's the off-season, baby. It's interview season. It's your boy, Dan. Today is not Virginia Tech related, but it is absolutely important that y'all hear this. I have with me one badass woman. She wrestled her whole life, bronze medalist at the World Championships in 2021, silver medalist at the Pan American Games in 2019, and a 2014 U.S. National Championship gold medalist. She goes by the Joker. Her name is Jenna Burkett. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Excited to have this conversation with you.
Absolutely. I think you've followed each other right after the national championships. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to shoot my shot. See if she wants to come on. She's a very interesting person. I have always heard your name in the wrestling space. So I'm glad that you're here.
Oh, I appreciate it. I have lots of love for Virginia Tech, and I know I've had a lot of good fans throughout my career from that side of the country, so I feel very lucky for that.
How do you think that happens?
You know, I think a lot of, like, my fan base, I guess, came during the pandemic, actually. I feel like we just had a lot more time to interact with people, and I had a bunch of extra shirts in my, like, closet that I was like, oh, let me see if I'll get rid of these, see who wants them. And I kept mailing them out, and all the addresses were Virginia, and I was like cracking up. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I had such a fan base. And then I also reached out to Cody Brewer for an opportunity to kind of train with the Southeast Regional Training Center. I did that in 2020, so right before the pandemic, to just kind of open up my opportunities to be in a different room. Didn't really get a chance to train too much out there because of COVID and strict protocol and lots of crazy life stuff, but I did get to go out there a handful of times. And so they've always just been really welcoming, and I've had a really good Hokie fan base.
Hell yeah. Nah, Cody has been, Cody was the first person from the Virginia Tech wrestling team I ever interviewed. He was my first one. And then I sent him and Sam Latona Terradome t-shirt or long sleeve shirts. And I think every bit of media I've seen that he's been in from Virginia Tech, he's been wearing it. And I ran into him after UVA and he was like, dude, I wore it out. I need a new one. So I guess I'm going to have to get his new address and send him one.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Yeah, the Southeast Regional Training Center, it's a big deal for Virginia Tech. That's 1,000% true.
For sure.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Rocky Point, New York. So
okay.
I trained Rocky Point, New York. I also went to Longwood High School, which is where Kerry McCoy is from. So just an area that's very rich in freestyle wrestling and folk style, but that was kind of where I got, you know, the doors open and opportunities for me to see female wrestlers and things like that later on, of course, because when I started, it was just, you know, I was the lone female in the boys' room. So, yeah.
I have a distant cousin. I don't really know her because she's a lot younger than me, but my mom sent it to me, actually. She just placed third at Nationals for King University at 123.
Oh, okay.
Montana DeLauder, I think is her name.
Oh, yeah, I know of her for sure.
Okay,
that's
and
awesome.
I was like, dang, I did not know I had that in my family, but because she's always like, you go to all the wrestling stuff now. Because I grew up in extreme casual. Casual is the correct word. Big pro wrestling fan growing up, amateur wrestling. One of my best friends, childhood friends, his name was Brian Bucky Anderson. We went to the same high school. He won 171 and 189 state championships in Virginia. And then he placed All-American, and then he went to JMU.
Right
and on. Then JMU cut the program. So he joined the Army, And he was 10th Mountain Division up in Fort Drum. And then he got sent to Afghanistan, and not to make it morbid, but he didn't go well.
Sorry to hear that.
Then Makai Lewis came along at Virginia Tech, and I really started like getting into like collegiate wrestling. And one of my friends was like, man, you should really get involved in this world. So I started this show, and then I was like, I'm gonna start covering wrestling, and I started going to everything.
That's awesome.
I fell in love. Like, it's so intense. Like, it's definitely like a cult following, I feel like, but it's a very strong community, and it's just crazy.
It is. It's a strong bond. I mean, it's just like crazy how like wrestlers will, you're forever a wrestler. You know, I don't think that ever leaves you. So I think people are really good about opening the doors for other people and keeping people involved in wrestling. I think that's the goal. In some capacity, we want to keep everyone involved. So I'll have to, you know, you'll have to get more involved with your distant cousin, because King's a really good program. That's impressive.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And they've
been consistent.
That's good. Consistency is key. What was I going to say? I had something. Damn. I'm blanking. So, but I do remember you were, what, 6 years old, and somebody told you you couldn't do it, and you were like, guess what? I'm going to do that.
Yeah. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I, you know, grabbed a flyer in the first grade, and this little boy in my class, Raymond, he took it out of my hands and was like, Jenna, you can't do that. You're a girl. And I had to rip the flyer back and said, oh yeah, well, watch me. And then of course I had to run home and beg my parents. And my mom was like, Jen, like, you're going to be the only girl. And I was like, yeah, what's your problem? And she just like laughed and was like, I guess nothing. And, you know, they took me into the basement of Rocky Point, and, just true love. You know, I love the game of wrestling. I'm a competitor. And so I just took a liking to it. And then my parents, I think, thought I would quit. And, you know, I was a wrestler for 25 years. So.
Hell yeah. One of my employees, this is what I was going to say. Her son is big into wrestling now. He plays football, and then he's like 14. So he's like a freshman in high school. He just like started, like, he's very into wrestling. Like, it's what he loves to do. Well, he recently got cauliflower ear. Oh. And he wanted to keep it. He was like, no, mom, it's real badass. Like, I need to keep this. And then it was kind of like, she was like, no, we're going right now to take care of it. And so she like made him get rid of it, or like she did whatever. But I just thought it was funny that he was like so adamant about keeping it.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor. I mean, even with getting it drained, you're likely to probably bang it up again. And so I'm sure his dreams will be fulfilled.
So you... did you play other sports growing up, or were you just like straight up wrestling?
Yeah. So I grew up and I was in dance, and then I was also in acting. So my real, real love before I was ever a wrestler was I loved acting. I was really big into improv. And my mom always, I think, wanted to be an actress too. And so she got me into it really young. And when I was four, my mom like snuck me into an audition that you were supposed to be like 7 or 8. And I actually got the part. So when I was four, I was in this like Christmas play. And then I was still so young that I couldn't read. And so I made my mom read the entire play to me, everybody's line. And then I just memorized everyone's, so that no one ever knew that I couldn't read yet. I was an actress before I ever really was that big into sports. And then I, you know, started wrestling young. And at the same time, I also did soccer, which I hated because I'm not a good team player. Like, I like to win. And so I would get very frustrated. You know, I did flag football, the little kid stuff. And then I was in basketball, and then got kicked out of basketball because I was too aggressive. And then I was really big into lacrosse because I'm from Long Island. So that's a really popular sport there. But then I think by the time I was in the seventh grade, I just dialed in more into wrestling. And so I kind of dropped all my other sports, and then I acted until I was about in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think that there's definitely improv on the mat, right? But dancing,
for
do you
sure.
think your dancing background, it helped you with your wrestling career?
I didn't dance for too long. I was really notorious for never wanting to go to the practices and only wanting to go to the performances. So I think from a young age, I just really liked to perform. And I think that translates really well to wrestling. Like I always love the big moments. And I think when you're a little kid, it's hard to get into how tough wrestling practices can be. And we had good coaching staff then that really made wrestling more fun. So it wasn't as intense as some people come up nowadays, or maybe even at the time. It was a more fun kind of room. But I think that art of putting on a show has always been something that I've loved to do. And I hope to have carried that on the mat when I wrestled.
Yeah. Putting on a show is important. I think, it brings, you can be good, but if you're like really good and marketable, I think it goes even further. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And it's a new era for it all. I think that's just going to be the way that wrestling is going to have to evolve and grow to kind of stay with the times a little bit. I think personalities are really good. I think like the UFC does a really good job of selling everybody's story. And I think that's something that wrestling can do a bit better. And then even as athletes, but at the end of the day, if you're trying to be a world champion, national champion, Olympic champion, it's about balance, and not everybody wants to be maybe as marketable, but I think if you want to maybe have, right, maybe make more money along the way, maybe you do take an interest in that.
Right. Like I remember, I do not like this dude only because he's so good and he always beat Makai, but Carter Sturacci.
Sturacci, yeah.
Yeah. He put out that tweet for the national final and I was like I hate it, but I kind of like it. You know, because I was like,
remind me again, what was it? I can't remember.
He basically posted all of his opponents that he had beat. And he basically just said, I'm better than everybody. I'm about to go piss on this kid's grave and then he's going to beat him or something like that. It was crazy. I was like, yeah, I've never seen a college athlete tweet something like that. Not to mention he was hurt the whole time. I didn't even think he was going to compete. And then he comes out and wins the whole thing fairly easily. It was kind of insane.
Yeah, just a mindset for him. Yeah, it was impressive, that's for sure.
Yeah, but we had Caleb Henson, and Caleb Henson won the national championship. And that kid, I like him. He's all motor, like so aggressive and just like, it's just like when he came in last year, I was like, oh, this kid's going to be really good. And I got to talk to him a few times. But then this year it was like a whole nother level. And then it was just, I think he's going to win a couple. I hope he wins a couple more. I know it's extremely hard to do. Like, you think, like, oh, he won this one, and he'll win a couple more.
Oh,
but
for sure. Yeah.
Five matches in 3 days is no easy feat.
No, yeah. I've only spoken to him maybe once or twice, but he seems like a really nice kid, too. So that's always good when people have a good, like, head on their shoulders. So I always root for those ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if you're like a true, like, great at what you do, and like, at any time you can turn it on. I think it's most of those people have like an even keel personality for the most part. But how many opportunities were there for women's wrestling when you were growing up?
Really not much, like I was the only girl in my room at Rocky Point, definitely the only girl around Long Island. And I think there might've been one in the past. I don't know if you're familiar with the Jansen brothers. Jesse won an NCAA title for Harvard, Corey Jensen. These were like really big names in Long Island. They had a sister who wrestled for a brief time, so I kind of knew of her, but then she quit kind of soon after. And then my coach, Darren Goldstein at Rocky Point, he was in that freestyle Greco circuit on the senior level himself. So he heard of the 2004 Olympic team coming to Staten Island, New York, for a national team camp. And they he called somebody and made it happen so that my parents could take me there. And I got to like watch the whole, 2004, the very first Olympic team plus the national team. And so I'm 12 at the time. And I'm like seeing this for the first time in my life, like, oh my God, these are like women, these are powerhouses. They're going to the Olympic Games. And so that really kind of like opened my eyes of like what the future was. In terms of other opportunities, there was a organization called the United States Girls Wrestling Association, USGWA, and Kent Balow started this. And it was really women's only opportunity to compete in different states, and like I'm from New York, but I could go wrestle in New Jersey and Pennsylvania for their USGWA state title. And so we went to upstate New York, and that was when I'll never forget walking into this wrestling tournament, which was a bowling alley that they put mounts on top of. And I had never seen so many girl wrestlers. I didn't even know they existed. Right. And so I walk in and I think I'm going to go like dominate this tournament because I had beaten the boys. You know, I think I'm 9 at the time was when I got this, my opportunity to go wrestle females for the first time. And so I think I'm going to kill these girls because I'd just been beating up the boys. And don't you know, my very first loss in my entire career was to a girl who literally beat the crap out of me. And that was when I was like, holy shit, women's wrestling is like, there's more of us. There are more of us all over the country. And what I love about, you know, female wrestling is that that girl that beat the crap out of me, her dad realized that my mom has no idea what she's doing. And she's like coaching me. And so he offered to coach me my next few matches. And then we kind of just like linked up and shared information. And that's kind of how, like, you know, women's wrestling grew. You know, I got to see what it was like. And then he offered me, just told my mom about different tournaments. And so that was, you know, at 9 years old, that was when I realized that there was a lot more of like me out there. And I had no idea.
That's all. And you said, I think you tweeted the other day, you were talking about weight classes and you were like, when I was growing up, there's only 4.
Yeah. Only 4 Olympic weight classes. So I know everybody was hating like, oh my God, this sucks. And I'm like, it does suck, but just imagine really amazing female wrestlers that have to squeeze into 4 weight classes. And like I said, we did that for 2004, 2008 and 2012. So it's crazy to think about.
Yeah. And my friends growing up, like a lot of them wrestled. I just played football. So they would play football with me and then they would go wrestle. But like watching them like maintain and cut and like the, I mean, I know it's a lot safer now, but like the extremes they would go to make weight. I was like, good God, I could never in my life. I salute to you for like being able to be disciplined enough to keep yourself at a certain spot because wow. Did you ever have an issue?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I grew up with some like old school coaches, very big on cutting weight. And in New York, you have to wrestle the boys if you're trying to be, you know, wrestling. So I had to be the lowest weight class, which was 96 pounds. And I was cutting a little bit, especially at the time because I was growing. And that was so difficult to try to maintain. And then I was actually invited to the Olympic Education Center in Northern Michigan when I was 15. So I've wrestled freestyle since I was 15 years old because I moved from New York, went to the USOEC, and that coach, Shannon Gillespie, was like, yeah, you're not going to cut weight. You're just going to wrestle what you weigh. And that was my first introduction of like, oh, I don't have to like go wear plastics and try to like kill myself to make weight. This is a whole new concept for me. So I was lucky at a young age. I kind of had a good like role model mentor to kind of tell me I didn't need to cut such drastic weight. But I've made 4 different world teams at 4 different weight classes. So I've definitely been in a wide variety of weight classes and I won my medal at 55 and I'm happy that I made the transition down in weight class. Cause I think if I would have went 55 my whole career, I think I'd have a lot more medals to my name, but I think wrestling up a weight class just gave me an advantage to how it feels wrestling a smaller weight class. Like I always feel like I had really good zone control and things like that. And I feel like it's because I wrestled 58, 59, 60. I've even wrestled 63 kilos. So I've been all over.
For the casuals, how do they translate kilos into pounds?
Yeah. So I'll let the audience do the math on it, but it's 2.2046. So 55 kilos is 121, I think. 63 kilos is 138. So that's a little range for you.
And what's the biggest difference in freestyle versus what they would see on a college mat?
Yeah. So in folk style, it's all based off of control. When you're getting your takedown, you have to really secure the takedown. Whereas freestyle, if they fly to their back, you're getting 4 or 2, depending on the circumstances. And you can also lock hands. So folk style and freestyle are very similar, but the parterre positions are different. So like when you watch a folk style college, you know, match, they're on their feet. That's the majority of freestyle wrestling is all on the feet. There is no like, or like I don't know what you call that folk style, because in freestyle it's forced parterre, but so a little bit of differences. But I think that's why folk style wrestlers end up doing really well in the freestyle scene, is because it is very similar.
Yeah, I think we call him the human highlight reel, Bryce Andonian. I think he's going to be
a
superstar when he continues whatever he's about to do. So
yeah, he's electric.
I'm excited. I'm so excited for that. I thought, you know, in the Nationals, like him and TJ Stewart both, like the very end of their matches, I was like, oh man, you shouldn't have stepped over that kid because you had it. But you know, that's the crazy part about it. You got to think quick, and sometimes you don't make the right decision. But it's intense.
And those kind of wrestlers are so flashy that they're a fan favorite. Like Bryce will forever be a fan favorite. Made the game so much more exciting. Unfortunately, that doesn't always translate to winning. Like it definitely makes it exciting. Like, and he's won plenty too. I'm not saying he hasn't, but
right.
You know, there's a savviness of just almost being willing to win a match in freestyle 2-1 or 2-2. And you're like, hey, I'm moving on to the next match. Whereas I think, you know, he's such a highlight reel that he's always going for I don't know if he's going for entertainment purposes or if he's just always trying to put a stamp on his matches.
Right.
But sometimes that does get you in trouble. I mean, I think it'll translate well to freestyle. I think he's got a junior world medal or U23. He's got one of those. And so he's so explosive that it does work really well in freestyle. But sometimes it's also live by a sword, die by a sword. So you got to be careful too.
And whereas Makai was kind of the opposite, where he was very, I feel like he was very like surgical, careful, and like technical. That's why he only lost 11 times in his whole career. Like the only time he got taken down this year was by Sturaci. So.
Yeah, he's very methodical. Crazy. Very methodical.
You were a three-time U.S. Junior World Team member as well.
I was, yeah. My little junior credentials was I made three junior world teams, and I was the youth Olympian for Singapore. That was where we went. And I have a beach world medal too, which is always like a running joke because my wife, she worked in the sport as well. She was an intern for the USOPC, and then she worked for USA Wrestling. But she one day made this joke of like something about beach wrestling, like who even does it, like something casual like that. And then I had to go, you know, I actually have a beach world medal. Oh, so yeah.
So how did you two met on the scene then? Is that how that went?
Yeah. Alex, like I said, she worked for USA Wrestling. She interviewed me when she was an intern. I was in the national finals or something. She was working for USA Wrestling. And then I kind of just, that was like one time deal. I think that was like 2015. And then I met her like 2 years later, something like that. Again, just kind of like, oh yeah, you still work for USA Wrestling? Something like that. And the rest is history. But yeah, it was nice. Just, you know, obviously being with someone who works in the sport, she really understands it. She's a very disciplined and dedicated human being and very professional. So she knows that I'm the same way in my career, and my life and career really took off from the moment I, you know, met her, because it was just such a team effort. You know, I know some people like to really keep everything separate, but for me, some of my favorite memories and best times has been when Alex has been mat side with me. And cause that's just casual. You know, I try not to make any moment bigger than the next moment. Right. That was my like mantra towards the end of my career. And I think it all really worked well. Instead of making everything so intense, you know, because I'm already an intense person. I already care a lot. I always want to win. And so I think just releasing that pressure and just kind of going in the mindset of like, just kind of releasing that worked well for me. And then, you know, to have Alex always be there kind of mat side, and I'm pretty silly when I'm off the mat. And then when I'm on the mat, I'm really serious.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's anything laid back about anything I've ever seen you do on a wrestling mat. It was definitely very, I was like, this girl's aggressive, but you have to be. It's an intense sport.
It is. I always say now that I'm in retirement, I'm like, oh, I feel like such a nicer person. I'm not like, you know, I'm like mean mugging the competition. Like, I don't need any new friends. Like when I was competing, I'm like, I don't know. I don't need that. Like I respect all of my competitors. That was kind of my mindset, but I still wanted to beat their ass. Like that was, you know. So, but some of my favorite matches, you know, like I wrestled Jakara Winchester a few times, and our first time we met at World, not our first time, but when we met at World Team Trials, our second match or third match, there was a point where like we were going takedown for takedown. And I remember we both came back to the center kind of laughing. And if I could pinpoint some of my favorite matches, they'd probably be with her, because the level of competition was just so high, and we were both really getting after it. I kind of hate wrestling people where they're trying to be so, you know, like savvy and slow the match down. You know, I really wanted to get after it. So I appreciated the competitor that was also challenging me in that way.
Yeah, I watched you beat her earlier. that was fun. The Joker moniker, how did it come about?
Man, I think I've always been a jokester. I really just like, I was class clown in high school. I liked just fucking with people that way. And so it was just like, I love the movies, right? So I really loved Heath Ledger and just like the art of it. And I just like, someone was like messing with me, like, cause I was like fucking with somebody at a national mm-hmm. team camp. And someone was like, God, you're like such a little joker. And I was like, oh, you know, and I was like, oh, that's a good one. I was like, I'm gonna change my Instagram to that. That's a good name. And I would just always like mess with people, like, why so serious, you know? So I feel like I had that like personality where I could like on a flip of the switch there, get really into character. So
absolutely. That's awesome. I figured, I'm like Batman was probably my favorite thing ever growing up as far as like the yeah. comic book stuff goes. So obviously can't have the Joker was a massive part of that. So when I saw that was what you had chosen, I was like, did she choose it or was it chosen for her? So I wasn't yeah. quite sure.
Yeah. And I have the tattoo as well. So I have the Joker and like Gotham with Why So Serious. That was okay. like, that was one of my earlier tattoos on my arm. So it was like pretty intense because it's like that face, you know, like right on my forearm. My mom was pissed about it.
So way more Heath Ledger than Jack Nicholson, is that what I'm hearing?
I like Jack Nicholson too. My brother loved the Batman movies, so I have a lot of respect for the Jack Nicholson one as well. But my favorite is Heath Ledger for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That first one with Jack was like the reason like my mom used to make me, like, I would watch it all the time. Like, that was my favorite. Michael Keaton's still my favorite Batman, but like I go yeah. back and watch it as an adult and I was like, this dude yelled, this town needs an enema. And it makes me laugh so hard because I was like, where do you even come up with this stuff? But
yeah,
I feel like, you know, obviously you make people laugh before you whoop their ass is kind of funny. But what do you do now? Now that you're retired, you stepped away. What are you currently fulfilling your time with?
Yeah, I give them back. You know, I'm really spending a lot of time working with some of the younger athletes. And so I've kind of done that throughout the end of my career, you know, really ever since, really since 21, I have just helped out and it made me a better wrestler, right? I think just really breaking things down and being like, being a leader on my team and kind of mentoring others made me so much better. And, you know, I never really planned on coaching, but as the last few years, I've really just enjoyed all aspects of mentoring and coaching and leading. And so now I'm looking for my next move. And so I've just been taking calls and interviews and I'm treating this like I'm a high school senior and like, I'm like, oh, where, what hat will I pick? And so that's kind of like what's going on now is I'm just like taking calls and seeing what's going to be a good family fit for us. And so we're really excited. It's going to be a true next chapter. And so I'll be excited to see where I land coaching.
Yeah. Is your wife still with USA Wrestling?
No, she's not. She left, those guys, then worked for Nike for a little bit. And then now she works for Oracle. So yeah. So okay. She works remote. So it's convenient.
Nice. And your Twitter said mental coach.
Yep. Yeah. So I kind of, that's another thing. Thank you for reminding me. I'm so bad at repping myself sometimes, but yeah, certified mental performance coach. And so I've worked with really all athletes in that high school to college level. I have just a few clients. And so I just kind of take calls with them and you know, the sports psychology has really been a game changer in my career and life. And so, that is something I'm very passionate about. I'm looking to start out my master's in sports psychology as well. So I can give back to wrestlers specifically, but athletes of all kinds and help them reach their peak potential.
That's awesome. Yeah. You were speaking of coaching and giving back and it's kind of crazy. My buddy Ethan, he's the SID for Virginia Tech Wrestling.
Oh, nice.
He's still like, he'll go back to Guam and wrestle like international and then fly back and get the kids ready for like two duels like in between. And I'm like, brother, how do you do that?
That man is always working.
you like skip six time zones and then skip six back and get these dudes ready for two duels. And I've been up in the room. It's a really nice room. It's so hot up there. I understand why, but like just being like a casual person walking in there, I'm like, oh my God. But it's definitely a very hands-on, it's probably the most hands-on coaching there is in a sport, I would say, from what I've seen.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, it's funny that you know how hot the wrestling room is too. Can't escape it. Really, no matter what, where you go, wrestling rooms are always freaking hot.
Yeah, I went up there for Missouri last year. They were in town and I met all the team and got the tour of the locker room, whatever. But it was just kind of like, dude, I'm going to be a sweaty mess by the time I get back down to the seat to actually watch this thing happen. And they're going to be like, why are you so sweating? And be like, watching cops. It's definitely, but I understand like it's part of like getting warmed up and everything, but yeah.
Keeping the joints warm.
Absolutely. So what other, I know you're really big into autism awareness. Shout out to your brother, by the way. The haircut is pristine. I don't have autism, but when I was a kid, I'm going to lead in. I had really bad ADD, but the schools didn't. I was like the guinea pig for all ADD medication, Ritalin, Adderall, everything you've ever heard. They put me
on. You had it.
But they thought like I had Asperger's or something. But no, the doctors just like tested me and they were like, nah, he's just like really smart and he's above the curriculum that he's learning. So he's just acting out.
Yeah, you're bored.
Yeah, I was bored. But I think it's a bit like a important thing because there's so many levels to it depending on where you are on the spectrum. And I feel like there's a lot of misconception about it. So I see that you're very, very adamant about it because obviously you have family members and you know firsthand. So I guess speak a little bit about your experience with the autism world.
Yeah, my brother's gonna be 36 this week. So it's his birthday this week on Thursday. And he was diagnosed at 2. And I just saw firsthand, you know, my mom worked in the disability field for, you know, 30 years. In different capacities in the school, in group homes, designing programs. So she worked in it before they ever adopted my brother. And then 2 years later, he was diagnosed autistic. And he's very severe and he's completely nonverbal. And he is remarkable. You know, I adore my brother. I look up to him in every sense of the word. Because you know, he's come so far and he's also so funny, you know, like it's like, he's hilarious. A lot of people think because he can't speak, he just doesn't understand, but he understands a lot. Now what he lets you know, he understands. He's very picky and choosy. But he's really just come a long way and it's truly the dedication of my mom who puts so much effort into my brother and making sure he, was above the curve and well behaved and disciplined. And so my brother has so many good habits thanks to my mom and dad. And so it came with a lot of advocating and finding out what he was entitled to, and if he wasn't, she was going to make sure he was entitled to it. And it's, you know, he's 36, and so the world has changed. A lot more access now. And just in general, you know, social media and things like that, you can find things out. So, you know, I'm trying to imagine my mom walking this landscape 34 years ago when she found out and how scary that must have been. And so I just kind of carry that torch of trying to get the word out there. You know, now that I'm done wrestling, I think eventually I'll get even more involved. And I've just always been an advocate, always kind of fighting for my brother. That was the just the mindset of my whole family. You know, people would genuinely stare at my brother like he had a disease when we were younger. And so I just always had a chip on my shoulder of, you know, I will protect my brother. And that's how my mom and dad were. You know, they're from New York. They're like, my parents are born in Queens. And so they're very, you know, East Coast. And so if you gave us the wrong look, you know, they were going to let you have it. And so I think just that attitude, I really took that approach in my wrestling career too. But yeah, I take a lot of pride in kind of just advocating for my brother and for others. And, you know, I've had a lot of people come up to me, and because it's more common, more people are getting diagnosed with it, and it is a spectrum. So however people land. And so it's been really nice to kind of have this support and just kind of, you know, community around it. So.
Yeah. I used to go to this camp. Are you familiar with Young Life?
I'm not.
It was like this youth thing. It's actually sort of religious, but it never felt. It was more just fun and like community more than anything. It just had like religious basis. But I would go to these summer camps, and there would always be like groups of kids with like Downs or whatever. And they were always like talking to them because they have I think people think people with disabilities don't have like their own personality interests and stuff like that. And they still do. It's just communicated in a different way. There's even like this one guy on Instagram that I follow that makes food. He has Downs and he's a chef. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he makes good stuff that I, as like what they would deem a fully capable human being, cannot make. So, you know, I feel like giving people a chance is always important.
Oh, 100%. It's always cool to see the areas in which people are highly skilled. I used to always hope that my brother was going to have this like secret wrestling talent, you know, because he's watched it my whole life. Right. And this dude hates wrestling. he is like so disinterested. He'll like look. My brother's really known for like giving the sassiest looks in general, and so like my brother could not care less. But that's kind of nice, right? You know, like having like instead of having people that are like so obsessed with my wrestling career and like living and dying on it, I feel like I had a lot of like casualness to it. So it was like truly something that I just love to do.
Absolutely. What is he? Is he into any sports at all?
He loves to watch basketball, actually. We went to some Yankee games this summer, and he enjoyed that. But I think he's more into basketball.
I got you. What other things are you into that people might not know? Like what fulfills you on a level that didn't have anything to do with your profession?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, my wife and I are like very outdoorsy people, like classic Coloradans, you know, who like love to go hiking and biking and doing all that. And we've got four dogs, so really passionate about my animals. But I'm also a soldier. So I've been a part of the Army World Class Athlete program. And so I genuinely really enjoyed my time and being a soldier and mentoring and things like that. Otherwise I'm a avid coffee drinker. And so, yeah, I guess that, you know, probably is a big, I'm like looking around my room for inspiration.
I drink coffee every day too. It's a necessity as an adult, I think.
Yeah. I'm not sure it does anything for me, but it's just like, yep, I need my coffee. Like I, of course, like started it with them.
Yeah. Are you staff sergeant? Is that what I read?
I am. Yep.
Yeah. And you went to college in Colorado for the University of Colorado, but not Boulder. It was Colorado Springs.
The Springs. Yeah.
See? There we are.
Look at you. You're up on your info.
Hey, man. If I'm going to ask you to come on here, it's only respectful for me to do my proper research. You know?
Love it.
Jenna, this has been awesome. I really do. I appreciate you taking the time out of your world and your day to come on here and talk about this stuff with me. I only have more question for you, and it's the state of women's sports is blowing up as we speak. I think it started with women's soccer and all the success they had with the U.S. team. And then softball became the third most watched collegiate sport at one point. And now it's women's basketball. Like Caitlin Clark and all these other girls are taking it to a level you haven't heard of. Millions of views better than the men. Final Four ticket prices going higher than the men's. Do you think women's wrestling is next in that revolution?
I mean, without a doubt, like I really am passionate about the growth of women's wrestling and seeing how much things have changed since like I began, how much things have changed since the people who came before me. And I think it's only a matter of time, right? You know, I think once it gets I think once we're at a point where it's sanctioned in all 50 states is going to be a really good for high school, right? So I think once that happens, it's going to be a huge step. And then once it's fully an NCAA sanctioned sport, I think that's going to be another level. In an ideal world, I wish we could get the states to do freestyle wrestling for high school, because I think it will just translate better, because they're already doing freestyle in college. So they do freestyle in high school, college, and then you hope they make World Olympic teams. And I think that's in the effort and pursuit to beat Japan. You know, as a national team perspective, a world team perspective, we've been second and third. We've won it as well, but it's been a long time since the early 2000s. So that's like kind of like what I'm passionate about next. You know, I really want to help create the best humans, wrestlers in the world. And I want to be a part of that kind of growth to chase down titles and make a legacy. And so I think starting at those like grassroots and getting to high school and college, I think it'll help propel us to be world and Olympic team champions. And I do. I think there's no reason why it can't. I think like the Iowa women's, you know, college team, right? Like they've got that personality and they're putting stuff out there, social media and things like that. So, and other programs, right? Like the King colleges, like there's so much talent now that's so spread out so well. So I think it's about the resources, people doing interviews and get people excited. And I think we'll see that like landscape of women's wrestling college really take off like women's basketball has.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm here for it. So I'm ready for the revolution.
You're along for the ride.
I am.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to dive into the world of women's wrestling. Now that I'm in the world of collegiate wrestling, period, I'm going to have to make it a point to watch my cousin at King, and yes. I'm going to have to watch other women do their thing. And I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate you taking your time to do this, you know. I know you have a lot going on. You did not have to do a Virginia Tech-based podcast on your Monday,
well, you
but
know,
I appreciate it.
I really do. I love the Virginia Tech community. Like I said, kind of I've had these followers since like 2020, and it's been so cool to have this kind of fan base on that side of the country. And it was really important too, you know, like right after COVID and leading into Olympic trials with my mom passing away, like I just had this bigger community of support, and a lot of them were from Virginia Tech. And so I will always have love for everyone over there. And hopefully one day we'll see a women's wrestling team from those guys.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And if you ever come down for a match or you end up at the SERTC, let me know. It would be a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, that would be awesome for sure.
Absolutely. And as always, go Hokies.
Heck yeah.